The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
It's probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds. You're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays and not necessarily the plays.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. My name is Derek Peterson. Joining me this week, I have Hail Varsity's own Steve Mark. Steve, hello. How are you?
Hello, Derek. I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk some football with you today.
Yeah, so you wrote something, it's like 10 days ago now when we're recording this. I don't know when folks are going to be listening to it. A couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, looking at the three most intriguing games on Nebraska's schedule for 22. And so I have you on this podcast because I would like to talk to you about that because I love schedule talk. I absolutely adore schedule talk. This specific kind of schedule talk. I don't like this game is too tough. They shouldn't have scheduled this game. But this kind of schedule talk, I'm here for it. So before we get rolling, I do want to say to anybody listening to this, make sure that you're reading all of Steve's content because it's really good. So go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Use the discount code VARSITY. Make sure that you are signed up for the website, premium content. Make sure you're signed up. I believe... And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, there is a yearbook coming soon, right?
Yeah, very soon. A lot of people put a lot of hard work into that thing, and I think it's going to be a really cool product for fans of Nebraska athletics to kind of read. It's just a really cool product that Hail Varsity does, and I think a lot of people are going to like it.
This is your first one that you've worked on. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I was kind of like nervous about the whole thing. Like, I'm like, oh man, I gotta like, you know, it's gotta be like the best of the best work that I do, you know, that goes into this yearbook. But yeah, it was kind of nerve wracking, but I got all my stuff in on a good deadline and I had fun doing it. So I'm excited to read everybody else's stories in there.
Got stuff in on deadlines. So you're already better than me. Good job.
Yeah, that was one thing I really wanted to pound home was just like, you know, get this in when it's supposed to be in and then I could like sleep at night. So,
yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Okay, so to kick us off, I first want to ask you what definition of intriguing did you use? So when you're crafting this list, you picked three games. You've got Northwestern on your list. You've got Illinois on your list and you've got Minnesota on your list. So when you were picking those three games, what definition of intriguing did you use?
So for me, intriguing means, you know, what games, what teams, what opponents am I really interested in to see, like from, I guess, a Nebraska fan point of view, as a beat writer for Nebraska, you know, following the team, there are so many like interesting little angles for like every opponent on the schedule. But like I wanted to kind of pick ones out that I think fans really kind of took a hold to, I guess. And Northwestern, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's a big season, make or break season for Scott Frost in his fifth year here at Nebraska. And boy, to kick off the season with a Big Ten West opponent 4,000 miles away from your home stadium, that's a big deal. And I know that Northwestern is down. They lose a lot of guys from their team last year. Could be a good thing because they weren't very good last year. But they have a lot of questions to answer. And, you know, going into it, I think that just fit what I was trying to do with intriguing because, you know, if Nebraska loses that first game, it's going to be worse than last year with, I guess, the psyche of Nebraska fans and you know, how this whole state fan base is going to kind of operate if they start the season 0-1, same as last year. Yeah, it's just not good. So just going in, the intriguing part, not just on the field, but off of it and what fans really kind of think about other opponents is what I was trying to do.
That game will be a revelatory game, but also I think it's interesting that all three of your games on here are Big Ten West teams.
Yep.
And, you know, Scott Frost doesn't have a good record in general, but no. If you look at his record against sort of the lower half of the Big Ten West, it's not what I think people thought it would be when he came. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, I think all three of these games are like, would you pick Nebraska to win? Vegas would probably favor them, I think, in all three of the games.
Yeah.
But they have to beat these teams before, you know, you can confidently say that, yes, this Nebraska team under this coaching staff or this head coach specifically, this new coaching staff, is better than those teams. It's very interesting. I want to talk to you about Northwestern. We'll start with Northwestern because it's a similar spot to where they were at last year in that they've got a Big Ten West division foe to open the season, and it is a massive game for not just for Big Ten West implications, but also for, you use the word psyche, team psyche. It's a big game for them trying to build some momentum going forward. Do you think that it's the fact that it's going to be played so far away from home, so far away from even Northwest? I mean, like last year they played at Illinois to start, and that was, you know, they were on the road. Do you think that this game being played so far away from home is going to change things in Nebraska's favor? Do you think it's going to give them like a little bit of a, you know, we can insulate ourselves from all the noise because we're away from all the noise? You know, we're however many thousand miles away from all of the stupid media beat writers that cover this team.
Yeah. So I guess my first thought would be maybe it evens the playing field a little bit, because if you look on paper, Nebraska, I think, has more returning firepower on offense. They've added a lot of intriguing pieces that we don't know if they're going to pop this year, but they sure as heck look like they might. There's some good pieces like the Trey Palmers, the Anthony Grants at running back, the quarterback with Casey Thompson. So there's a lot of pieces, interesting pieces. But if you look at Northwestern, there's not a ton of interesting pieces. They have a lot of questions, like I said, to figure out, starting first and foremost with who's going to be playing quarterback. Is it going to be Ryan Helinski or one of the young guys, maybe Brandon Sullivan, who I had read as doing good in fall camp or spring camp with them. So the first things first, they need to figure out a quarterback. And I think playing a game across the Atlantic Ocean in a different country, 4,000 miles away, it just adds a little bit of like unpredictability to this whole thing. I just think that it might even the playing field a little bit because, you know, on paper, Nebraska might look like the more talented team, but if you're playing it in a foreign land over an ocean with so many eyeballs are going to be on this game, I don't know if that works for Nebraska or against it. So I think that maybe it helps Northwestern a little bit. I'm interested to see your thoughts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Yeah, I think it. That's
a good question.
That's totally fair. I think we'll see. Nebraska just looks like clearly the more talented team.
Yeah, they do.
And I do think that there's an element to this that Nebraska will travel significantly better than Northwestern does.
Mm-hmm.
And Nebraska's fan base will travel significantly better than Northwestern's does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll help. I think that they could have a sort of home away from home environment that they can sort of feed off of.
I see. That,
I think if both of those elements are there, Nebraska shows up. I don't want to say believing that it's the more talented team, because then it might, you know, overlook Northwestern, but,
mm-hmm.
but acting and behaving like, and carrying itself like it's the more talented team. I think that they could win this game by, you know, 7 to 10 points.
Yeah. And I liked what you just said about believing and thinking that they should beat a team like Northwestern, because that was another reason why I picked the teams that I picked, is because, you know, if you go around a Nebraska fan base and a Nebraska football fan and you rattle off Northwestern, Illinois, and Minnesota, I don't think that those three programs get the respect yet from Nebraska fans. But yet those are the teams that are still beating Nebraska. And those are the teams that Nebraska needs to consistently beat before they can think about, you know, beating the Wisconsins or the Iowas. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, I mean, since 2018, Scott Frost, he's 2-2 against Illinois and 2-2 against Northwestern, and he hasn't beaten Wisconsin and Iowa yet, and he's only beaten Purdue once. So those are some Big Ten West teams that, you know, if you're thinking about Big Ten West championships and getting into the Big Ten championship game, you need to beat those guys first before you can even think about taking bigger steps than that. And he just hasn't done that. Scott hasn't done that during his tenure at Nebraska. And, you know, that's why I wanted to pick these three teams, is because can you beat them? Last time Illinois was in Nebraska, they ran the ball for a lot of yards and embarrassed Nebraska on their home field. So I'm just wondering, can they beat the Illinois? Can they beat the, you know, the Wisconsins, the Iowas?
That's a good segue, because Nebraska didn't. This is going to sound harsh and it's going to sound kind of dumb, because Nebraska hasn't beaten Illinois consistently enough, but Nebraska shouldn't have to respect Illinois.
Yes.
Like, yeah. If we're being completely real about it, Nebraska and the fan base shouldn't have to respect Illinois. So that's the natural. This was your number two game on here.
Yeah.
Brett Bielema was cool. They're going to have a new quarterback. Still, especially talking about just talent on paper, Nebraska shouldn't be in a game with these guys. Why is Illinois on your list?
Illinois is on my list because Nebraska fans have this kind of love-hate relationship with Brett Bielema, and it stems from his days I was with head coach at Wisconsin. And like you said, I don't think a lot of people around here really respect Illinois' football program because it's Illinois. They're just kind of there, right? But yet, you know, like I mentioned before, the last time Illinois was playing football inside Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, I know they have one in Champaign, but in Lincoln, they got out of there. Lovey Smith got out of there with a win, and then he got fired shortly after. So it's just like you need to start beating the teams that you need to beat to win the Big Ten West. And Illinois is one of those teams that nobody around here respects, but yet they haven't consistently been beat. So I don't know. It's just maybe start by beating the Fighting Illini. And yeah, I like their – you're right. Going into the season, I do like Nebraska's roster more than Illinois. I don't think Illinois is going to be as bad as some people think. I really, really, really like Tommy DeVito, the transfer quarterback from Syracuse. That's probably going to be starting. At least I hope he is.
That's where I was going next. Their win total is at 4.5. Would you take the over on that?
Man, I'd have to look at the schedule. Do you have the schedule on you right now?
I do not have the schedule, but I can pull it up real fast.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. And they have a new offensive coordinator with Barry Looney Jr. He's coming over from San Antonio, Texas San Antonio. He had some really good offenses under his belt over there. He actually beat Illinois last season, and he's good friends with Brett Bielema too. So it makes sense that Brett's bringing him on staff. So I don't know. There's just a lot of, I don't know, a little bit of momentum for Illinois. But yeah, it's just, it's very interesting with me.
Crossover games for Illinois next year are Michigan State, at Indiana, and at Michigan. So two of those aren't going well.
So yeah, so I'm thinking they're 1-2 right now.
They're going to play Wyoming, Virginia, and Chattanooga in the non-conference. Shout out Brandon's UTC. Yeah,
the Mocs.
They're going to go after they play Chattanooga. Now, there's a bye week in between when they play Minnesota and when they play Nebraska. But after they play Chattanooga, they're going to go at Wisconsin, Iowa at home, Minnesota at home, at Nebraska, Michigan State at home, Purdue at home, at Michigan. I'm comfortably taking an under at 4.5.
I'm going to have to.
I'm cool with I've seen a couple things that, you know, Tommy DeVito at Illinois gives Illinois a passing game now for the first time in a while.
Plus the new offensive coordinator.
Which
but
I can
how well is this all going to mix in the very first year with it?
Yeah, I can get behind, but I would put Tommy DeVito at the bottom of Big Ten West quarterback standings. I mean, like,
that's an interesting idea right there.
Maybe ahead of Northwestern.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But definitely towards the bottom.
But he's an experienced guy. He played a lot of football at Syracuse, and he's an athletic dude.
But Syracuse.
I mean, it's Power 5 football.
It is.
Don't be wearing the orange right now.
I completely agree with your premise that Nebraska's going to have to beat some of these teams.
Yeah.
That it is quote unquote supposed to beat before we can confidently say that it is supposed to beat these teams, because it hasn't. And some of the games that it has lost to Illinois have been embarrassing.
Last year was embarrassing, and the year before that in Lincoln was super embarrassing
in several different fashions, which is kind of remarkable in itself.
I will say this one more on Tommy DeVito.
Go for
it. He gives a little bit of juice along with the OC Barry Looney Jr. He gives Illinois' offense a little bit of juice, and more than they had last year with Arthur Sitkowski, who is a immobile statue there. And Illinois, I like the two running backs that they bring back too. So we'll see.
We shall see. The third team on your list is Minnesota.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
So talk to me about Minnesota.
I don't know about you, but like, people hate PJ Fleck around here. They really do not like that guy at all. He cares a little bit too much about his appearance for people around here. He's a little bit too vocal for people around here, and that's fine. It's a different culture.
Are you speaking for people around here, or are you speaking for you? It kind of feels like you are speaking for you. You don't like PJ Fleck.
No, I like PJ Fleck. I'm just saying, from what I've seen around here, people around here, the fan base, they don't really like that he dresses up on the sideline. They don't really like that he takes care of his appearance.
There's a lot of fakeness.
A lot of aesthetic. A lot of people think that he's not real. He's like a person. He's a different person when the camera lights are on, right? And then he is when they're off. And I get that. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't care about any of that if he's coaching my program like he is right now. I think he's a pretty good coach, and he's doing a lot with little right now.
How do you feel about Kirk Ciarrocca returning to Minnesota sideline, reuniting with Tanner Morgan? How do you feel about this offense and their potential? Because, I mean, there was a stretch there where it was like, hey, Minnesota's coming in the Big Ten West, and it looked like maybe Minnesota might, you know, solidify itself as a team that's going to remain at the upper tier of the division or the upper, I don't know, the second or third tier of the conference for years. And now they're kind of, you know, we kind of moved on from the Minnesota hype train. We're kind of
flattened out.
People are out on PJ Fleck. Kirk Ciarrocca took some time away from the program, and yeah, flatline is a good word. So do you like this offense going forward?
I do. I think that, you know, Ciarrocca, he's had a kind of an interesting career. He's hopped around a lot, but yeah, he's back in the mix right now in Minneapolis. And look, they bring back Tanner Morgan. He's an experienced quarterback. They need to rebuild some of that offensive line. A lot of those guys moved on. They bring back Muhammad Ibrahim, who I really like. He's coming off an Achilles, so that's going to be really interesting to see how well he looks back on the field. They bring back two of the backups. Of course, they used like five running backs last year, and they all did really well. But I think that was a kind of a product from that pretty good offensive line that just leaned on people for four quarters. So it'll be really interesting. But I don't know. I just like it. They've been a tough-nosed team. They've been a really tough program that's been hard to beat for Nebraska. And I just think that they're going to continue to be tough, like a tough culture over there. And I think PJ has had an impact on that. That's his culture over there.
PJ Fleck versus Scott Frost and like this Minnesota group versus this era of Nebraska football is the most entertaining matchup to me that Nebraska plays every year. Like
exactly. Yes. I'm glad you agree with me, because that was my reason why.
Yeah.
It was an intriguing game.
There was pushback when I tried to say that it was Nebraska's best rivalry game, which I can understand. And so I will change my statement to it's the most entertaining game that they play every year, just because of all the extra off the field stuff. Like for it sure. is very obvious that PJ Fleck and Scott Frost don't care for each other. Nope. It's very obvious that Nebraska fans and Minnesota fans don't care for each other. Mm-hmm. And that makes for an entertaining environment, because you see it seep onto the field between the players, especially in close games. The thing that is going to get blasted all around this game when we reach it is a line that you included in your in your story. Is PJ Fleck saying after they beat Nebraska last year, quote, "That was truly culture versus skill. That's what I saw today." So a couple things. That's PJ Fleck acknowledging that Nebraska was the more talented team.
Yeah.
But PJ Fleck trumpeting the culture that they have established at Minnesota at the expense of Nebraska's culture, however strong it may or may not have been.
Yeah.
So do we think that Nebraska is going to be, again, the more talented team on paper? If you had to just pick rosters in terms of talent, would you pick Nebraska's over Minnesota's?
Yeah, hands down.
So, this becomes a question of – I agree with you. This becomes a question of how much progress has Nebraska made from a cultural standpoint in the last 12 months, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting question with that, with culture, because, you know, when you talk culture, you're talking about like close-knit guys who have been together in a foxhole for many, many seasons, right? And now you're introducing 18 Division I scholars, 18 transfers, with 15 coming from Division I schools and three more coming from the junior college ranks in this class alone. 18 new guys. A lot of those guys are probably the leading candidates to start at some positions. So when you talk about culture, that's just interesting to me, because how quickly can culture be built, or how quickly can new faces get up and running with whatever culture is at Nebraska right now? I don't have the answer to that, but that's an interesting question.
Here's a hypothetical. Those guys that have come in that in a lot of instances look to be the likely starter at their position, those guys that come in help Nebraska to wins right away, and they go about their business in a different way than Nebraska has gone about its business in recent years. And they are about different things, let's say off the practice field, away from cameras, away from media, things like that. They're about different thing. And Nebraska's returning players, holdover players, whatever you want to call them, see that. And then the wins come. And then they're like, all right, okay, we can get behind this. Mm-hmm. And this thing starts to roll. Like Scott Frost has talked about, we just need a couple wins and some momentum for it to snowball and for people to start buying in. Where does this game fall on the schedule? This Minnesota game. It's later in the year, right?
Yeah. And that was a really good point. Also, I like where the games that I mentioned outside of Northwestern, because Northwestern is just an easy pick. It's a season opener. It's a Big Ten West opponent. Got to get off to a good start. You cannot lose that game, or else people around here are going to freak out. But Illinois and Minnesota, let me look here.
Start of November.
Yeah, it's the start of November.
October 29th. Minnesota's November 5th.
Yeah, so it's like those are your two shots. You get past Purdue, you're going to have a bye week. You have Illinois and Minnesota, two programs who you consider little brothers, or just not up to your level, Nebraska football fans. And then you get into just the meat of this schedule. You get Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, bang, bang, bang. Those are tough, tough programs and tough teams to beat that they haven't consistently beaten. So it's going to be really, really important, in my opinion, for them to get past Illinois and Minnesota and have that two little two-game stretch before those kind of heavy-hitting programs to end the season.
Yeah, because no matter how optimistic you are about this football team next season, you look at that three-game stretch to close at Michigan, Wisconsin, at Iowa, and you say, I cannot, regardless of how I feel about this team, cannot say that those are locks. Those are probable wins. Those are even likely wins. I look at those games and would say, at my most optimistic, 50-50 toss-up, because I love Nebraska and think that everything that they've done has been, you know, the correct move this offseason. If you're a little out on Nebraska, you think that those are likely losses. So if you're in a spot where Scott Frost finds himself, where you have to at least reach six wins, right? Maybe a little more, maybe seven, approaching eight, something like that.
Yeah.
If you're just penciling in 2.5 losses at the end of your season, you know, games like Minnesota and Illinois become super important.
They're very important. Yep. Agreed.
Before we continue, I want to take a second and thank the sponsor, FSC Edge. I ask questions for a living. The best Q&A sessions that I've ever been in have been ones where I felt like the person on the other side of the tape recorder was invested in me just as much as I was invested in them. Talk to folks who've worked with FSC Edge, who have gone to the offices, who have met with, and they will all tell you the same thing. You'll get the same kind of treatment. FSC Edge integrates AI technologies, case management tools, and augmented operators to optimally process patent documents quickly and accurately. They work with some of the largest patent offices around the world to manage thousands of patent applications and granted patents. We're talking about a place that deals on a massive scale, protecting inventors and advancing innovation, but does so in a way that makes every client who walks in the door feel important and heard. FSC Edge is always looking for new members to come on board and join their team. You'll be doing impactful work and learning about patents in a welcoming, easygoing environment. Check out available jobs today by going to jobs@fsc.com.
So why is Oklahoma not on this list?
Yeah. Okay. So the Oklahoma game does intrigue me for sure. But I think like for this piece that I was writing and what those three games mean against the Big Ten and West opponents, I just wanted to keep it in conference. Cause in the grand scheme of things, Oklahoma is a cool game. Lincoln is going to be packed. It's going to be, as the kids say, lit. Look, Oklahoma's really important and everything from like an old rivalry standpoint. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really count. It doesn't really matter, I don't think. Let's just care about the conference teams and the conference record. That's where I was really getting it. That's why I didn't really want to. Although I like Oklahoma, I think they're really cool. Dylan Gabriel's interesting. Jeff Levy is awesome. But I just wanted to, you know, keep it inside the conference and let's take care of the Big Ten West first.
It's all completely fair.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I give you two games that I would replace?
Do it. Let's have some fun.
Because the first one is Oklahoma.
Yep.
You get Northwestern in Dublin.
Yep.
You should win that game. If you're Nebraska, you should win that game. I don't care about all the extra stuff. You should win that game.
You should.
If you are about the things that you say you are about and Scott Frost is going to survive this season, I don't care what it looks like, you should win that football game. North Dakota, got a lot of respect for FCS schools, especially at the top of the FCS level. A lot of respect for North Dakota. Nebraska's more talented team at home. You should win that game. Home opener, you should win that game. Georgia Southern, you should win that game. This is your first test. September 17th against Oklahoma. All of those games that you lost by one score last year, all of the stuff that you dealt with, Oklahoma was one of those games. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma was one of those games where you had chances at the end and you made mistakes. Oklahoma was one of those games where you were on the road and you had a chance in front of what became a national audience because of how close that game was, everybody started tuning in to say, what's going on with Nebraska? Is Nebraska about to do this? And then Nebraska stubbed its toe and everybody checked out and said, same old Nebraska. Don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. You have a chance if you're Nebraska at home against an Oklahoma team that I think that is clearly in a rebuild situation with everything that it lost. And you know, you call it a reload or a rebuild, whatever, but it's clearly like not where it was. What, six months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Coming to your house, and I think Oklahoma's gonna be like a 7-8 win team. I'm not like, I don't think that they're gonna be a Big 12 title contender in year one. You know, this is a game where you can prove a lot of people wrong. And if you're Scott Frost, this is a game where you can sort of solidify yourself and say that this season is actually going to be different. And that's one of your first tests.
It is. I completely agree. Oklahoma really interests me just because there's so much unknown there. Like, you know, first time head coach Brett Venables, bringing in Jeff Levy as the OC, new quarterback Dylan Gabriel. It's just so interesting to me. I don't know how they're gonna look. Are they gonna? I know I don't want to get too into the weeds with the schedule, but I do think Oklahoma is going to get to Lincoln 2-0, and Nebraska could potentially, if they get past Northwestern and handle business, be 3-0. So that's a potential 3-0 Nebraska versus a 2-0 undefeated Oklahoma. But the Sooners have a really good coach in week two, I believe, with Sean Lewis and Kent State. I'm not saying there's going to be an upset or anything, but I really like what Sean Lewis has done at Kent State. I think he's a future Power 5 head coach in the waiting here. But, yeah, watch out, Sooners. Kent State could be a little bit interesting and keep the game a little bit closer than what everybody probably thinks. But I think they'll still get out of there with the win. But, yeah.
Well, that's also could be one of those games where, you know, you don't play your best, but you still win. But it's like the wake-up call. Like that, every team has that wake-up call early in the season where they're playing teams that they're better than. And then they reach that one game.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, they are playing the way that you know, their talent would dictate they should play.
Just give you a little scare, just to scare you a little bit.
Yeah. So if Nebraska can be that team on Oklahoma's schedule, things get interesting.
They do.
But if Kent State is that team on Oklahoma's schedule, then they come in, you know, either angry or they spent the last week getting screamed at by Brett Venables. So,
yeah, for sure. I was interested. I was just kind of thinking about Oklahoma's offense and how good Dylan Gabriel has to like feel with like, you know, doing an offense, running an offense with Jeff Levy again. And I was thinking like Jeff Levy has always had super fast tempo teams, right? Like it's always been like boom, boom, boom. It's what he did, you know, at Baylor under Art Briles, and then again with Lane Kiffin, and then before that with Central Florida. So I'm interested in seeing like what's Oklahoma's defense going to be like. Are they going to want Jeff Levy? Is Venables going to want Jeff Levy to like go like boom, 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 and or does he want to like slow it down? We have a rebuilding defense. We're learning defense here under Venables. Do we want our offense to go super fast, or we do want to slow it down and help our defense out a little bit? These are the things that keep me up at night. I don't know.
That's a good point. No, that's a good point. Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The other game that I would give you as a replacement option on your mm-hmm. 3-game list is Iowa.
Yeah.
It has to be Iowa. Iowa's a litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa is Scott Frost's, you know, Everest. That's the team.
0-4 against the Hawkeyes.
That's the team. I mean, that's really all it comes down to. That's the team, yeah. You know?
It is. Some may say Wisconsin, but like, it's Iowa. They're right across the river. The fans, the dynamic with the fan bases, the fact that, you know, Nebraska has played the last two games, Iowa, very tough. They've given them good games into the fourth quarter. I mean, shoot, last year's game, Nebraska was looking really good until the fourth quarter hit, and then just disaster happened and they got out of there again.
Well, three games, because didn't the first one in 2018 end on a field goal in Iowa City?
Yeah, we got, field goal action. Yeah. And then, it's just, that's the team. You're right. You're completely right. Nothing would make Nebraska kind of get momentum more and lighten the mood around here than beating Iowa for once.
And it part of it is just because of Sean Eichhorst's famous words.
Yeah.
That's just part of it. Let me give you a hypothetical, another hypothetical, because I've given you a couple. Uh-huh. Nebraska's 4-7 going into that game against Iowa. Scott Frost beats Iowa. And does so not like at the end, like they do it not convincingly, but you know, it's not something where they win at the very last second. They beat the Hawkeyes. 5-7, but it went over Iowa. You keeping your coach? Put your Trev Alberts hat on.
You can't. Can you? We're gonna do it again, like another season of it.
Without
a bowl game
again, it would depend on what it looked like. But
yeah,
I think the answer would be no, you couldn't. But it does get interesting, just because of I think how much that game, how important that game is.
Yeah,
the game is very important.
And another thing that I think when I'm thinking about that kind of hypothetical, I'm thinking about that October 1st date where Scott's buyout gets cut in half from 15 to 7.5 by October 1st. And like, what does that mean? Has he shown enough progress in the first part of that season to, you know, show Trev Alberts that he has this program on the right path? It's just really interesting for me to think about. And I don't even know what to think about that, but that October 1st date where the buyout gets cut in half, that kind of interests me. I'm like, oh, what's that mean? Like, what could the, you know, factors be with that? That's something kind of fun to think about too.
Do you think Alberts is the kind of athletic director that would make an in-season coaching change?
No, I guess no. He seems more maybe methodical and kind of like, you know, he doesn't really, I don't really look at Trev Alberts and see a guy who just like makes a decision off a whim and what he thinks. I think he like wants to put thought into it. And I think he has put thought into it with the whole contract situation too. So.
Yeah. Because a mid-season coaching change has an element of reactiveness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, with the way that October 1 date falls on their calendar, that'd be 5 games in.
Yeah.
Or going into their 5th game.
So that'd be the Indiana game.
And like, if you see something bad in the first 5 weeks that you're like, all right, time to move on. Then you saw something bad prior to the first week where you thought, okay, time to move on. And you just didn't want to do anything. And so at that point you shouldn't do something until the end of the season. I'd agree with you that I don't think he's a guy that's going to make a, make an in-season change, which bodes well for Frost in the sense that, like, you know, if it begins poorly and it closes strong, he can make a case because mm-hmm. of the way the last God, what are we doing? It's, exactly. It's May. They have to get a bowl game. You're right. They have to get a bowl game. But because how important Iowa is, it is an interesting question to think about right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, man, Iowa is just so tough because like they're the program that they are, but they have Brian Ferentz as like an offensive coordinator.
So what game was that, like number four in your list? Is your crap?
Iowa would have been like my fourth one. Yes.
An honorable mention.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And what was it in contention with? What was number three?
Number three was Minnesota, right?
Did you just go in order like that? Northwestern?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was just like
most intriguing. Illinois is the second most intriguing. Minnesota.
It just happened to like match up with like how the schedule would go. Like Northwestern was first, and then like the next one that I thought would be Illinois, and then Minnesota.
Okay. Would you put Nebraska as a favorite against Iowa on the road?
Right now?
Yeah.
No, I can't do it. You need to.
You wanted to. I feel like you wanted to.
No, it's close. It's because like the past few games, they've been great games, very close games, almost toss ups at the end. But for me to pick Nebraska, it's the same thing with like for me to pick Nebraska, like over a Wisconsin or a Iowa, you need to beat them first, and they haven't beaten them first. I need to see it with my own eyes before I could predict that it's going to happen and guess that's going to happen. At the end of the day, you know, Iowa has like won those games in the fourth quarter with like physical stretch run, pushing Nebraska's defense around for four quarters and having it pop off in the fourth quarter. And I just really respect them as a program and how they go about their business. And they've just won games with strong defense, strong special teams, and so-so offense. And before I could pick Nebraska to beat Iowa, Nebraska needs to like show me something that you can like get to a program that's like Iowa.
Is this going to be even worse than a so-so offense from Iowa this year?
Oh yeah, man. The quarterback situation is unbelievably bad. Almost. I don't like what they're doing on offense. The fact that Brian Ferentz is back, I mean, it makes sense because he's the son of the head coach, but like,
and has more responsibility. Like, he has another title on his job description.
Oh, does he? I haven't looked. What does he have?
Didn't he add like quarterback coach? Isn't that what happened this offseason?
I don't know. I'll have to. I don't know. I haven't looked into.
Hey, if you block out all Brian Ferentz related news from your feed, from your life, that is the way to go, my friend. I'm pretty sure he added another title to his job description. But yeah, that's nepotism at its finest, which is an accusation. I know.
I'm partly joking. Would have been let go, right? With that,
yeah. I don't think if his last name is different, I don't think he has a Power Five offensive coordinator job.
I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy that that's happening in like 2022. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's remarkable. Mm-hmm. So that game, you know, like you said, they've been able to lean on Nebraska, and a lot of ways it's been a battle of wills, and Iowa has won that battle. And, you know, you could probably apply PJ Flex quote about the Minnesota Nebraska game to the Iowa Nebraska games.
Yes.
Which, like, I understand we talk about culture too much, especially when, you know, you think a culture is not where it should be. Culture gets leaned on as a crutch. I genuinely did not mean to rhyme there. But it is a thing. It is a thing. And it's a thing that has bit Nebraska in the butt.
Yeah.
So.
Would you say that the way Wisconsin and Iowa and even the past two games against Illinois, those are like what Nebraska fans want to happen with their own team, is like the way Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois have won these games recently against Nebraska. That's what Husker fans kind of wish that their own team would be.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the natural step in the progression of a rebuilding team is you get blown out. So you change coaches and you start rebuilding a foundation,
mm-hmm.
and then you lose close because you don't know how to win. But that teaches you how to win close, and then you win close, and then that teaches you hey, this winning thing is pretty fun. We're going to keep doing the stuff that's leading to wins. And then you start winning big. And Nebraska's just stuck in the awkward space between losing close and winning close. And they haven't quite figured out how to take the next step over to the right side of the the rebuild path.
Yeah, it's like they want to skip a step and like already get there, but they need to figure out to do like things that Iowa and Wisconsin do well that like make them win games that they should win consistently, and at the end of the season, you know, be in contention for a division championship type stuff.
And I think some of the coaches that they've brought on staff are going to help them take that step. Specifically thinking of guys like Mickey Joseph. We need more of Mickey Joseph's voice to help you take that step from losing close to winning close, figuring out how to do the right things that are going to win you close games. Absolutely.
I think some of the offseason hires were fantastic. Fantastic. I'm still kind of wondering about Donovan Raiola and the offensive line, just because that's going to be such a key piece to this whole thing that doesn't get talked about a lot, I don't think, but that's going to be really important. But yeah, like you said, Mickey Joseph, Brian Applewhite coming from TCU, coaching the running backs, Mark Whipple, 40 plus years of coaching, you know, he's got it all. I think he has a lot of answers, but can he, you know, get his knowledge and teaching ability, can that rub off on the players on the field and have them do what he knows, you know, what will work? That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, I'll let you get out of here. I know you got some work to do. So thank you for coming on the podcast. It was great having you on. Appreciate talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, keep reading hailvarsity.com. Make sure you're reading all of Steve's content. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. We'll link to his Twitter account where we can. And keep listening to this podcast. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, guys.
Huda Media Production.